Now, how, just starting out, how effective so far have the lockout laws been?
Well, just to clarify, that these are often called lockout laws, but in fact, the lockout is only one element. And in fact, it appears, and I'll come back to it in more detail, that the lockout element is not the more effective part, but the last drinks restriction is what matters. And in fact, lockouts are used only in Australia and New Zealand. And there have only been about half a dozen studies of changes in or implementations of lockouts, and they do not show that they're effective in reducing assault rates. What's effective is restricting the time of last drinks, so making that earlier in the evening. So, moving from 5 a.m. to 3 a.m. in Newcastle resulted in a more than one-third reduction in assaults.
Can you just clarify quickly the difference between last drink laws and lockouts?
Yeah, so in a lockout, another phrase for them is a one-way door policy. People can remain in the premises until closing time or until last drinks are served and continue drinking, but they can't leave and re-enter or enter another premises. So presently in Sydney, there's a 3 a.m. last drinks law and a 1:30 a.m. Lockout, which means that people can remain in a bar or club in the CBD of Sydney or in King's Cross after 1:30, but they can't enter another one, and they can buy their last drinks up to 3 a.m., but they can remain in the premises after 3 a.m. if they're open.
Right. And so then, just taking a quick national perspective, because there's been a lot of initiatives that have been implemented around Australia, have any of them shown to be more effective than others in reducing alcohol-fueled violence?
No, the consistent finding is earlier cessation of the sale of alcohol and consumption of alcohol. So that's achieved either by closing, as in Newcastle, or by last drinks in Sydney. So I think the Sydney laws were a progression from Newcastle in that they didn't require the outlets to close just to stop serving alcohol. That's the key to reducing violence. There have been a number of other measures introduced, such as restrictions in serving shots after certain times or use of glassware. And these make sense, but there isn't actually empirical evidence to show that they're effective, partly because they're hard to study. But I think we need to bear in mind that what we do have good evidence for is the change in the service of alcohol rather than all these other strategies.
Now, one thing that we have seen as a result of Sydney's alcohol laws is a considerable drop in the late-night violence in places like the CBD and King's Cross, but an increase in areas such as Newtown and Pyrmont. So what can we do to help stop violence spreading to areas outside these zones?
Well, just to clarify that, I think that there's a lot of debate and speculation. There have been assertions about those increases, and I'm not really disputing them. But what I will tell you is the evidence shows that in the 6 months that followed the restrictions that came into place in February 2014, I was involved with the Bureau of Crime Statistics and Research evaluating that, and we did not find evidence of displacement, of increases in violence after 3 a.m. In Newtown, in Pyrmont, and so on. We found some small increases in the Star Casino area, which has an exemption, of uncertain statistical meaning, but overall, we don't find this evidence of displacement in that initial period. Now, we are studying the longer-term effects, and we will certainly be looking closely at all those areas immediately on the border of the Sydney CBD precinct that's been designated. And I have read the media reports about what's going on in Newtown, and it's possible that people are going there after 3 a.m. or, in fact, starting their evenings there, and there are problems as a consequence. And I think the review that's due to occur in February next month, so the two-year review, will have to take that into consideration and look at the evidence for change and possibly encompass those neighbouring areas within the precinct, enlarge the precinct.
Now, regardless of these statistics, we have seen this decrease in violence since these laws have been introduced. And you mentioned that a moving of the time from 5 a.m. to 3 a.m. for the last drink in Newcastle helped out a lot. What can we do? I mean, obviously, alcohol-fueled violence is still a problem. We still have incidents of it. What can we do moving forward to help reduce violence further?
Well, you know, there are a number of strategies that are worth examining. I mean, I think we need to underpin those with sensible times of last drink. You know, there's a good example of this in California, in the US. they have 2 a.m. last drinks. In fact, it's actually 2 a.m. last drinking. That is, you can't be drinking alcohol in a licensed premises after 2 a.m. anywhere in California. Yeah, you know, and California has plenty of vibrant nighttime entertainment areas, cities. You know, people wouldn't describe San Francisco and Los Angeles as boring. They've got good live music scenes and so on. So it's possible to do this. I think the key then is to start with a sensible law like that. This is something that Queensland is considering, the Queensland Parliament is considering right now. And we'll be, you know, voting on the second reading of the bill in the coming months. I think at 2 a.m., I think I would personally suggest dispensing with the lockouts, which can create a fair amount of confusion among people and a sense of being regulated, of being subject to laws that people feel quite annoyed about, and have one simple law with a 2 a.m. last drinks, and then start to try some other things that we evaluate, such as the management of public transport, management of taxi queues and so on, where we know violence occurs, to ensure that people can be transported in and out of those areas. But all of that has to be paid for, and I think that's part of the debate about what the population is willing to, what cost they're willing to bear in relation to running a nighttime economy. You can't just have the pubs allowed to open whenever they want. There are all sorts of services that have to be provided, including emergency care.